I randomly had met Marley Sue actually at like a workshop audition for something else, and she said, oh, I'm doing a film in a couple of weeks. And I was like, And I was like, oh, I might be doing a film in a couple of weeks. And then we went out to lunch together and spent the whole time skirting around the fact that we'd both signed NDAs. And then eventually we ended up living together in Glasgow, and she walked into the flat. We were both like, it was you!
Hello and welcome to the Danjo Film Show, episode 46.
Why are you laughing?
Sorry, I'm in one of those moods.
One of those moods. I just had deja vu.
Did
weird,
you?
Weird.
Weird, weird. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I'm here, as always, joined by my partner in crime. Some people say if you say his name five times in the mirror, he appears quite as sexily as well. It's Joe Richards.
Sexily? Yeah, am I wearing like a nice velvet suit?
I think you'd be wearing the suit that you wore for the BAFTA Cymru Awards.
Yeah, back
you
in the day,
you
know.
Smoking. So, for people who don't know, Joe bought this suit. I'm not going to say the shop it's from, but it's quite high-end fashion
I
store.
Suppose, yeah.
And he bought it, and it was quite expensive, to be fair.
Yeah.
Cost a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
And people were coming up to him and going, so which designer are you wearing tonight? And
yeah.
It so annoyed me, and there I am, like, looking like, oh, great.
Yeah, it was brilliant. You looked lovely as well. You went more traditional, and I think
did,
that's
yeah,
the thing.
Plain.
The people who would come in to talk to me were very flamboyant individuals, so obviously that's why they enjoyed the flowery suit. Mm. But actually, I was saying to my better half the other day, I'm thinking about buying a blazer, actually.
Ooh, yeah.
A green blazer.
Ooh.
We're changing seasons now.
For any occasion, or are you just
going
to wear it?
Yeah, I'm going out on the Raz in 2 weeks' time.
Okay.
And I saw Brandon Flowers from The Killers doing a live performance of Sleepwalkers on GMA, Good Morning America.
Hey.
He was wearing this like green blazer, and then it was like the Facebook gods knew I was interested in that, and were like, oh, there's a green blazer, which is similar. So I'm going to go for that sort of look when I go out in a couple of weeks' time with some old colleagues, some old friends of mine.
Hey.
Maybe I'd wear that when I appear in the mirror. What would you be wearing if you appeared? I see your name, Dan. I'm not going to say it all
those. Don't you dare, boy.
And then you appear in the mirror. What are you wearing?
You know what I'm like? I like my winter coats, you know, blazers, like that. Maybe like a turtleneck jumper.
Oh, you love a turtleneck jumper.
All my friends used to call me back in the winter when we used to go out before COVID in the winter time. Used to wear like these turtlenecks. They used to call me a fisherman. But here he is.
Fisherman's friends.
Yeah.
Oh.
But those days are over. I do love a turtleneck, though, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd be wearing that.
Yeah, or a jumper with a slogan on. One of the two.
Yeah, like live, life, love,
yeah.
Or whatever. You
definitely.
Know. Definitely, totally. Or New York City or something like that. But good to have you with me, Joe. How have you been, though? All good?
I've been good. It hasn't been long since we
it
did this.
No.
You know,
no.
It feels like an hour ago that we were last doing this. So it feels like, you know, we haven't been away, so not much to report.
Nope.
Had a lovely bank holiday weekend.
Yes.
Do you even have a bank holiday weekend? Because you have like 10 weeks off, don't you, over summer?
Oh, yeah. We have six, and they're well-deserved. And all you lot, bank holidays, and they place them in the holidays for teachers. And they're like, oh, what are you doing on Monday? Oh, it's bank holiday. Oh, is it really? Oh, we don't know because we work so
Yeah, hard. Exactly. Yeah. That's rightly so, I
cut
think.
Cut the bank holidays down.
The kids shouldn't be having 6 weeks off. They should be in work. They should be in school permanently.
They should be in the coal pits.
Yeah.
Working. That's proper work.
Definitely.
Anyway, we've got a fab show coming up for you today.
We have. Exciting show.
Exciting show indeed. We're going to be talking about Nia DaCosta's new film, Candyman. And that's why we kind of said, don't say the name five times. I will never do that. I will never say it
I will
times.
never do it.
I'm smart. And we're also going to be talking about Our Ladies. And we've got an interview with one of its stars, Tallulah Grieve, who is a real up-and-comer. She's got two films coming out in the next week or two. She's got Our Ladies, and we're also going to be chatting to her about Cinderella, which is coming on Amazon Prime. time.
Yeah, that stars James Corden.
It does, yeah.
Who's been stopping traffic recently to promote it.
He's been thrusting as well.
Yeah, I did look out for Tallulah to see if she was amongst it, but luckily she wasn't.
She avoided that one, dodged a bullet there, but really excited to talk to her all about the film, her role, and what's coming up for her in her career. All that coming up. But before that, should we have some headlines now, Joe?
Let's.
We'll grab a wine, baby. In film news this week, director Nia DaCosta has become the first black female filmmaker to top the US box office with Candyman. Despite grossing $22 million in its first weekend, some fans, including myself, were very disappointed to find out that it wasn't a biopic about Bill the Candyman's life from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Who can make a sunrise?
Oh, beautiful. You can tell that you played Bill the Candyman in school.
I did, yes. It was a challenging role for me.
I can imagine. In other news, Jason Statham joins new film, The Beekeeper, which will be distributed by Miramax. They're still going. The plot is unknown at the moment, but we are sure it will be unbelievably thrilling.
Oh, stop.
Hey, do you think Jason will rob a bank and be like, your honey or your life? Okay, I'll stop.
Okay, yeah, you stop, you naughty thing. Finally, it looks like Joe's favourite film of the year, Jungle Cruise, will be getting a sequel at Disney. Disney making sequels? Gee. Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt are both aboard, although Disney have had to really take some time thinking about getting him on because, you know, as we all know, after Vin Diesel's criticism, Dwayne is on a tightrope right now. No. I hear he didn't say family enough in the Fast and Furious movie, so... Who can blame him, really?
Who can blame him? Do you think he'll be the Jungle Booze Cruise?
Oh, stop it, you. That's the headlines now. Finish that wine. Okay, it's time to talk about movies now, and the first of which is... Candyman.
If only they had that in the film.
Imagine me popped up in the mirror.
Yeah.
But like, you're right, you've got some chocolate for me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be half as terrifying. But yeah, this is the sequel / soft reboot of the Candyman franchise. Original was released in 1992, which is like 10 years before your birth. And basically, this picks up in the modern day, set in the same location. The ghetto of the original film has been gentrified. The flats look absolutely lovely now. You know, they look classy.
Was Kirsten Phil there?
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine they were. I'd love to get one of these apartments. Mm. Yeah, they look lovely, but the only problem is there's lots of mirrors, there's lots of glass, which could be a bit, you know, detrimental.
A health and safety hazard there.
For more than one reason towards the end of this film. It focuses on a young artist, up and coming, who is having a bit of a dry patch. He's got artist block, and he's looking for some inspiration. He is in a loving relationship. His partner sort of curates his work and she's sort of pushing him to find some inspiration and, you know, do some new work. He one day uncovers the story of Candyman and falls down the rabbit hole of the Candyman legend. He's inspired by it and he starts painting and he starts creating these brilliant art projects based on the Candyman project. But in doing so, he unleashes the terrifying legend. Here's the clip.
What is he?
The first one, where it all began, was in the 1890s. The story of Daniel Robitaille. He made a good living touring the country painting portraits for wealthy families. But you know how it goes. They love what we make, but not us. Robitaille committed the ultimate sin of his time. They fell in love. They had an affair. She got pregnant. The girl tells her father, and you know, he hires some men to hunt Robitaille down, told him to get creative. Chase him through here in the middle of the day. He collapses from exhaustion right near where the old tower in Chestnut used to be. They beat him, tortured him. They cut off his arm and jam a meat hook in the stump. They smear honeycomb from the nearby hives on his chest and let the bees sting him. A crowd started to form to watch the show. the big finale. They set him on fire, and he finally dies. But a story like that, a pain like that, lasts forever. That's Candyman.
So, he's real?
Bell is real. Samuel, Sherman, Daniel Robitaille, they're all real. Candyman is how we deal with the fact that these things happened. That they're still happening.
Some weird father-son talk there.
Absolutely. My dad never had a chat with me about that. So yeah, that's a great clip there. Great performances throughout the film. Now, I, funnily enough, remember the legend of Candyman growing up more than the original film itself. I've never been, you know, a massive follower of the Candyman franchise, but weirdly, you know, the whole legend of say his name five times in the mirror, that sort of spin on Bloody Mary growing up, you know, terrified me to my core. Like I said, I would never, even now, I would never
that's
do
why
it.
You're alive.
Yeah, because I know in my luck, I would be one who dies.
You slip on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So speaks volumes for the success of like the legend of Candyman. In terms of the original, I revisited it recently, like literally the day before I saw the remake / sequel. And that was mainly because I saw a tweet from Richard Newby, a film critic on Twitter, a big fan of, who said that you'll maybe get a bit more out of the film if you have seen the original recently. So I did do that. And I'm glad I did it for many reasons, but mainly because it just showed how much better the sequel is than the original. This is the rare instance where a sequel / remake improves on the original. It builds on the mythology. It expands the mythos of the Candyman legend really, really well. So for that alone, it's a triumph. Obviously, you've got the racial injustices which are running through this whole metaphor, which maybe was in the original, but I never picked up on it in the original, to be honest.
It was the 90s, wasn't it?
It was the 90s. And I mean, you know, in the compared to this one, you know, I mean, the protagonist is white, you know, white female, but still white. But what this does really well, it ties the legend of Candyman into those racial injustices, you know, which we are familiar with through the works of Jordan Peele, Get Out and Us. You know, he deals a lot with that. Obviously, he's co-writing on this. It is Nia DaCosta's film, but obviously you can still make comparisons there. In this one, it's not just Candyman, it's Candymen. You know, it's the whole damn hive, as one of the characters says. And, you know, that's basically expands the mythology to not just one person, it expands the mythology to, you know, a whole load of African-American black people who have been killed, brutally murdered, shot dead by police due to, you know, the color of their skin. And he uses that as a way of dealing with that topic, that really sensitive and very current as always topic. You've also got the kind of tagline, say his name, which is like often said through the film. And, you know, that's become a sort of like political, like rallying cry within the Black Lives Movement and everything like that. You've got that song by Janelle Monáe, who we love, which is currently being used by David Byrne on Broadway in American Utopia, How You Talkin' 'Bout. And in that, you know, they say the names of these real life people who've been murdered, and through it they say his name, and they encourage the audience to say their names. So that is really cool idea as well, that they've managed to tie that into the real life aspects as well. You have that socio-political like commentary going on, but also it is still terrifying. The film opens with this like really eerie like opening credit sequence, which is like shot backwards, upside down, of these buildings being covered in smoke and fog, with this like terrific score over it. And that just sets the tone, you know, the atmosphere and the mood just builds and builds from there. There are some gruesome kills. Nia DaCosta uses mirrors really effectively, more so than the original ever did. And it builds this gruesome ending with like this body horror, which like literally makes me feel ill now. Ooh. Like I was itching the whole time. I mean, I've got eczema anyway, but like I was itching.
I got the eczema.
I got the eczema But like, I was itching, like, in that final act, I just did not like it. And it takes a lot to make my stomach turn. I had a roast dinner planned afterwards as well, which wasn't the best.
I was going to say, you'll never be eating KFC chicken ever again.
Exactly. No, absolutely not.
That's one of my pleasures in life.
Yeah, so it's got the horror. So don't go in thinking, you know, it's just making a massive political statement. It is, but you are going to be entertained by it as well massively, I think, if horror is your thing. So I think it's a massive improvement on the original. It's a real great start for Nia DaCosta. You know, she's going to be very big now, Sten, better than I think anybody had anticipated. And I think it's got it all. It's got these great performances. It's got the tension. It's got the politics running underneath it. It's 90 minutes. It doesn't waste any time. And I thought it was absolutely terrific. We put out on our Twitter, as we usually do, asking you, our listeners, to get in touch and let us know what you thought of Candyman. And we've had a good few responses. Our good friend, What About the Twinkie, The Twinkie Thing, says it's a wonderful successor to the 1992 original. It's so beautiful and haunting at the same time. But there should be a warning at the start for anyone with typophobia, which is the holes, fear of holes. And
That's more of a turn on for me.
Oh, Dan. Daniel, no.
I love all that kind of
Daniel,
stuff. We've got yesophobia.
We've got Marcus at Your Favourite Cuz, who says he is. Yeah, great acting, great cinematography. Needed to be around 20 minutes later to flesh, no pun intended, out some of the ideas and make a few more connections to the new mythos and a backstory. Felt a little rushed, and some of the pivotal moments down the street should have felt bigger. It looks like saying Candyman 5 times with Jay Springett, at jspringit94, sort of agrees. He says, an incredible movie which exceeded my expectations and more. It links up very well with the original and expands on everything better in every way. The only negative for me was the movie felt rushed with its fast pacing for the final half, and it didn't flesh out some things, but he's still giving it a 9 out of 10. So thank you for our comments. If you've seen it and want to get in touch, go to our Twitter page and let us know. But what did you think, Dan?
I completely agree with you, actually. I feel like maybe we should disagree more, but you've hit it all on the head. One day it will happen.
Yeah, definitely. Aquaman 2.
Aquaman 2, yes. All the gloves will be out for that one. I agree. I think I found this genuinely very terrifying, unsettling in its tone. It builds mood and atmosphere very, very well. There's a great scene in the art gallery, which is so tense. And again, Nia DaCosta behind the camera, she's able to do some really nice shots and angles. Her cinematography is very nice in this, and I think it adds to that tension, which I thought was great. The film's also very gory too, which I like, but it uses the gore well.
Yeah.
It isn't just a bloodbath from start to finish. I mean, there are scenes, there's a great scene where it's just kind of the camera's moving out of this apartment building, and you just see this woman getting kind of...
Yes, and it's great.
You don't need that a lot. And what Nia DaCosta's doing is she's, you know, finding really interesting angles and shots and ways of exploring this violence and this kind of terror of Candyman. There's a great scene in a high school toilet where you don't see them being killed. You just see an angle from the bottom of the toilet cubicle. And it's just, for me, that was more scary than anything else.
Yeah.
I think it does a really good job of paying homage to the original. I've not seen the original. No surprise.
No.
I know. It's in the 90s. So come on, you should expect that by now, people. But I think you're always going to have fans of the original who are going to say, oh, it's not good enough for me. Not good enough for that Candyman. Don't know why I sounded like I have a twist there.
I don't know either.
No, sir. I think this has done a great job because, like you said, it pays homage to the original, but it's very unique. It adds various things into it, and it brings it up to present day. And you're right, the film is political, and it does have a lot of social commentary about kind of black injustice, and there's a lot of references going through it. But I thought it worked because it was effective. It wasn't being forced down your throat all the time, you know? Similar to Get Out in that way with Jordan Peele's film, where they have a very subversive way of getting the politics through in a really kind of effective way. It wasn't just like, oh, well, you know, it's about this and this and this. You know, you've really got to explore the film. I love the backstory being shown through the marionettes. I thought it was very effective. I thought the cast were fantastic, very diverse, pretty much all black cast there. I mean, yeah, to be honest, taking the main parts, and it just worked for me. I thought the performances were fantastic. I love the pacing. You know, I love a 90 minute.
Yeah.
And there's not a better feeling than looking at your watch and knowing there's 10 minutes left. So
I agree. I can see why people would want more, yeah, but yeah, I'd rather a solid 90 minute film than a week, 2 hour, 20 yeah, film.
Yeah. Joe's approach to things is, you know, less is more.
Yeah.
In life. And, you know,
you're why are you looking at me like that for? Why are you looking at me like that for? Less is more. What does that mean when you're looking at me like that for?
Nothing. You know?
Mm.
Joe's approach to things is you'll have what you're given, you know?
I don't like the way you're looking at me.
No, I meant when you're applying for jobs, you know? Yeah, it's the skills.
All right, Dan, keep digging. Keep digging.
I'm kidding. But yes, Candyman is in cinemas now. So go check it out.
And see it. Yeah,
you know, we love Nia. We love Nia DaCosta, yeah, and we can't wait to see what else she does. Moving on now, we got a chance to sit down and chat to Tallulah Grieve all about her brand new role in Our Ladies, which we're very excited for. She's also starring in Cinderella, which is coming to Amazon Prime on the 3rd of September. And we chatted to her about her role in the film and then everything else going on with her life, what her future projects are moving forward, and basically how COVID has been for her the last 18 months. Just chatting to her about life and what she's got coming up. Here it is.
It was a different time then, before social media and mobile phones changed everything forever. It was 1996.
Some of you are going to Edinburgh for the first time today. You will carry yourselves with grace. But I must warn you, there are men there that would use and discard girls like you. Yes, Fenella?
See, when you say use and discard, sister, how do you mean?
Now, Fenella, she was the leader.
We should do an all-nighter.
Let's meet up in what, 2 hours?
Shell could get boys like a Catholic girl.
Hello, Edinburgh, open your legs.
You are mental.
Kyla had a voice, but she was devious too.
What do you think of those two?
They're about as much fun as a day at the morgue.
Amanda was the comedian.
A bit of citation from the Vatican at this rate.
And me, I was waiting for a miracle.
I'm Stephen, with a PH.
Or a la.
Oh, with a la.
We've always been best pals. Without each other, do you know where we're going? Woolworths. Pregnant as soon as possible to a guy with a job. That town's a bloody graveyard for us.
We could get into uni. Just got different opportunities in life.
It was an innocent time. Back in the days when anything was possible.
That's beautiful.
What a day. It's not often you get what you pray for, is it?
Fresh meat. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
We are very excited to be joined now by actress Tallulah Grieve. She's one of the stars of Our Ladies, which is currently in cinemas now. Tallulah, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you too?
Doing really well. I love your background. Lots of plants. Very organic.
It's actually not mine. I'm at a friend's house. And we had to do some self-tapes for some projects this morning. So I was here doing that. And then I was like, wait, okay, I'm not going to make it back home in time. So I wish I could take credit for the greenery, but I can't.
Okay, brilliant.
It is very Instagrammable, isn't it?
It's I could so definitely Instagrammable, see that. Isn't it? I know, it's mad. I wish I had this many plants. I've probably got about like half the number at home and I can barely keep them alive as it is. So.
So we ask this a lot to all of our guest interviews we have, but obviously it's been a crazy 18 months with the pandemic. And what's interesting about Our Ladies is that it's had a very long kind of time coming, really. It was in BFI Festival in 2019, then it was supposed to be released like right before the pandemic, and it kept getting delayed. So how has the last 18 months been for you, and how has it affected your work?
I think it was so surreal. I don't think when we first went into lockdown and stuff, I think if you told me where we would be at this point, I wouldn't have been able to deal with it. So I'm sort of quite glad that it's been like a really gradual kind of change of stuff. I'm really glad that we couldn't see into the future and be like, actually, things would not be completely fixed yet. But no, I mean, I was really lucky. I mean, we actually did a week of filming on Cinderella. We shot the ball. And then, you know, it just packed to the rafters with people, gorgeous Blackpool ballroom, ball gowns everywhere. I mean, it's like stunning. You can see bits of it in the trailer. It's one of the most beautiful shooting days I've ever been a part of. Then 2 weeks later, we were shut down. I went back to Scotland. I stayed with my parents during the first lockdown. And then the other lockdowns, I just stayed in London. I was lucky in a way that I think I could go up to Scotland. And I mean, I grew up about 20 minutes from the beach. So I just did like a lot of walking about, really. Which was good, I guess, and just a lot of, yeah, listening to all those podcasts, listening to loads of music, reading a lot. And then in the most recent lockdown, I ended up just doing a lot of volunteering as well, because by that point I was like, I need to do something. And luckily there were a couple of food banks near me in London that needed people. And that really keeps you going, because staying inside every day and not having any human contact, obviously there were harder things going on, but like, I mean, I missed it quite a lot. So it was really, really nice to have that.
Wow, that's really wonderful. That's really nice. Yeah, like really wonderful. Yeah,
loads of actors did it. I think it's because we're so used to being quasi unemployed. Like, I think even when actors are employed, you know, like friends of mine are shooting on things at the moment, and then they're shooting again in October, but they're not doing anything in between. So we've always got so much free time, and I think so many of us ended up getting involved in like mutual aid projects and volunteering and stuff, just because we were like, oh, I need to do something with all this time that normally you can kind of spend drifting about, going to the theater, hanging out with your friends, and it doesn't feel like such a black hole. But there was like a point in January where I was like, right, yeah, let's see what we can go and do with this time.
Oh, well, that is really, really wonderful. You're here to talk about Our Ladies, which is currently in cinemas. It was released last Friday. Yes. I can see by your face, you're just so excited to like have it out there in the world. Like, yeah. Finally, congratulations on it. It is really, really terrific. For those who haven't had a chance to go out and see it yet, who you want to just rush out and go and see it while mm-hmm. they can, what can you tell them about the plot and about, you know, how you became involved in the project?
So Our Ladies is about six Catholic schoolgirls from Fort William, set in 1996. They go to Edinburgh for their big choir competition, but they don't really have winning the competition on their minds. They more have absolute chaos, basically chatting up anyone that they see, wreaking havoc on the big city, which unfortunately is not well received by the nun that has accompanied them to the trip, played by the wonderful, wonderful Kate Dickey. It's just sort of 24 hours. It's kind of like I always think of it like a buddy movie, do you know, like those classic ones. But of course, they always featured men. But now you kind of get to like just hang out with these women for 24 hours as they sort of have, I guess it really has a sense of that final summer before high school ends and your friendship group starts to drift. There's certain tensions within the group, but honestly, overall, it's a good ride. It's a good laugh, and you might even shed a tear if you're lucky.
It is a very good laugh, and you're absolutely right. You will definitely shed a tear.
Teared up.
I was a mess. I was a mess.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god, I loved it. Sorry, I should never be gloating about it.
I love crying. I love crying in the cinema. I think it's great, and everyone else is crying too, so it's fine.
Yeah. The film does really well is it lulls you into a false sense of security. Mm-hmm. And then in the last sort of like 10, 15 minutes, it just rips the rug from underneath you and you're like, oh my days. And you're like, kind of leave a little bit heartbroken. It's very bittersweet. But that kind of leads into the next question, really, is that it is hilarious, but it is very emotional as well. And arguably, your character is sort of the emotional core of the film. Is that something which attracted you to the role?
Weirdly, I mean, I'd love to be able to sit here and be like, yes, when I sourced this project, but if I'm being honest, as we should all try to be, I mean, I taped for Kay, which is my now housemate, Eve Austin's role. I taped for Kay and I was like convinced that I should play Kay. Like, and that was very early, I think we filmed in 2018. So that was very early 2018. It was a really long casting process, but originally I wasn't free for the original dates before they got pushed. So there was a possibility that I might come back in for there was two kind of roles called Bridget and Michelle that I might come in for. And it got to, I think it was like the end of August. I'd came off of a theatre thing. I then went and I was filming something in Belfast. I was very ill. And my agent called me and was like, they'd like to, you to do a tape for Orla. And I was like, oh, but it didn't work out before. And like, I'm really ill. I don't know if I can be bothered. Which is terrible, but it's like that classic lurgy that you get after a long project. And I did the tape in my hotel room. I think it was like 2 days late. I just sort of learned the lines and did them. My friend filmed it. It was like sitting on the bed. I didn't even have a tripod with me because I was only in Belfast for a week, and it was like shaky. Oh, it was a terrible quality of tape. But yeah, apparently they really liked it. And then I went in, I met Michael, and I had one recall with Michael where I was in there for about an hour doing two scenes, just back to back, just like over and over and over. And after I met Michael, I think before I went in, I was like, oh, we'll just see. Like, obviously I was a huge fan of the script, but I don't think that I was like, I acted like I was very cool about it until I met Michael. And then I came out and I was like, oh no, I would love to do this. Because he was so detail oriented. Like I just felt like he was seeing if he could kind of push people. He was seeing what you could give. He was seeing if you could go again and again and again. And I love that in someone. I love being really focused on the work, and just feeling like that person trusts you enough to direct you properly is just, it's such a gift. And then I got the call a couple of weeks later. I randomly had met Marley Sue actually at like a workshop audition for something else. And she said, oh, I'm doing a film in a couple of weeks. And I was like, And I was like, oh, I might be doing a film in a couple of weeks. And then we went out to lunch together and spent the whole time skirting around the fact that we'd both signed NDAs. And then eventually we ended up living together in Glasgow, and she walked into the flat. We were both like, it was you. So, yeah, we all lived in like these, we all lived in pairs throughout the 3 week rehearsal and then the shooting period as well. So Sally Masham and Rona Morrison lived together. I lived with Marley Sue, and then Eve Austin and Abigail Laurie lived together as well. So it was a pretty special experience.
Definitely sounds it. I mean, the film is so much fun. What was it like filming? Was it as much fun as it was shooting it as it is watching it?
Yeah. If I'm looking at one job that was like the most significant like turning point for me of being like, oh my God, I love my job, Our Ladies was massive. I mean, yeah, so we had these 3 weeks of rehearsal. We rehearsed the script loads, but we also went out, got drunk. Like, you know, it was, you know, you got to know each other, I think, which is really special. And I think that was something that was so special about the casting, because we'd all never been in a room together, but luckily we just all became friends. And also we had these 3 weeks to work each other out. I did a lot of scenes with Sally Masham in the rehearsal weeks, and Sally's someone who's still a wonderful friend of mine. Like, it was her birthday a couple of months ago and we were all out for that, and that was absolute carnage. But you know, it's like I made really real friendships and bonds with everyone. I think Michael also had a lot to do with that. He really allowed us to challenge him. I think that Michael wasn't afraid. Like, I had a whole day with him in rehearsal week where he acted out the whole script, like did all the voices, wasn't afraid to embarrass himself in front of us. And I think that allowed us then to have a really playful relationship with Michael, and the way that when it came down to it, we would get the job done, but we could always find ways to crack each other up. And yeah, he loved it. He was like the choir mistress of the group, I guess.
that's brilliant. So obviously you've been very busy too, Liz. Not just Our Ladies, you're also starring in Cinderella, which comes out this Friday, the 3rd of September on Amazon Prime. And it's an all-star cast. You've got Pierce Brosnan, James Corden, Camila Cabello. So what was it like working with all of them? You know, how did that go?
It was wonderful. It was absolutely joyous. Yeah, that's the sense of it. And definitely watching the film, I think that sense of joy comes across, especially because, you know, once we'd came back after the first lockdown and stuff, you know, that was so many people had traveled for that, you know, Pierce had traveled over from America, and like you had people really making these huge sacrifices of really not seeing their family for months on end to come and do this project. And we all had these little plexiglass paddles. No one was close to each other until we started actually filming the scene. They'd rehearse very socially distant. when the whole crew was in masks the whole time, which of course they still are, but that was, I think we were one of the first UK productions to go ahead and we didn't have a single COVID case. I met a lot of the younger cast, like Camila, Nick, all this sort of thing, through like a WhatsApp group. And then we all went and had like a drink one day and hung out in London. And then we started filming and that was so great. And we were planning all these like trips that we were going to do together. And then suddenly you're not even allowed to hug someone. So that was completely different coming back. But I couldn't have been in a more joyful set, I think, to come back to. They made us all feel so safe. And Kay's just an extraordinary director. Her energy is just, she's got an infectious energy. And I think it must be so different, you know, because she comes from such like a wonderful comedy background, like to then really have people rehearsing so separately, but the energy was still the exact same, which I just think is a real tribute, I think, to Kay.
Brilliant. And finally, what other projects have you got coming up? Because you've been very busy, obviously. Can you tell us about anything else you've got in the pipeline?
I cannot.
Oh, it's something good, yeah. I can tell.
It's something, yeah, definitely. So that's sort of a better answer usually, because yeah, you know it's going to be
very,
something
very mysterious.
Really...
And look, I mean, that was the thing. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day. I was like, even if you said, I can't tell you, then even if something never happened, then still like the best answer you could possibly give. Mm. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate because all the Our Ladies press that I've been doing, they've been like, what have you got coming up next? And I've just been like,
no comment.
It's always towards the end of the interview. And then suddenly they're like, oh, wait, what? I didn't realize that was you. Oh God, we should have asked some questions. Damn it. But yeah, no, that's really wonderful. I mean, yeah, there was a lovely, lovely independent film actually that I was really excited about, but unfortunately that's just been pushed because funding, I think, for independent films at the moment, and this is my like little thing, is it's like my little plug, is that I just think it's really, really difficult still for independent films to get off the ground. I think big studio things and things that have a lot of money behind them, they can afford to COVID test, but I am very grateful that I think a lot of the projects that I'm going in for that are, you know, that are maybe lower budget features, they do want to wait until it's safe for everyone and they have the money to look after everyone properly. So it's a massive tribute, I think, to the community that we've got in the arts industry. It's just amazing, but it's also a bit sad, but hopefully we'll be back to some semblance of something a bit more solid. I think it's getting there.
Definitely, fingers crossed. Taluda, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Congratulations on the film, Our Ladies and Cinderella. It is terrific. Favourite film of the year for me. And you will blurb and cry at the end and I don't care.
Oh my God, that's so nice. Thank you so much, Dan.
That's okay. Thank you so much, though, and all the best. Thank you.
Bye, you too. Have a lovely day.
And that was our interview there with Tallulah Grieve. Absolutely lovely, wasn't she?
Absolutely lovely, yeah. It's a special episode this week. We weren't going to do one, but then when we had that interview opportunity, yeah, I think that it was great to get a chance to sit down to talk to her. The film sort of came out of nowhere for me, and so I didn't really know what to expect. And it was even better getting to speak to her after seeing the film and really, really enjoying it. But do you want to share your thoughts on the film first?
Absolutely. So she kind of spoke about the story a lot there, but it is set in 1990 Scotland. It takes place in a Catholic school where the girls are not so prim and proper.
Absolutely
not. They're naughty schoolgirls and they don't do as they're told. So yeah, it's about a bunch of girls who basically they go to Edinburgh for a choir competition. They're not really keen on the whole choir stuff, so they decide to go off into Edinburgh, drink alcohol, go to the clubs, meet lots of boys, you know, do kind of promiscuous things, you could say. And for me, I absolutely adored this. And the reason is, I think it's very difficult with a film like this not to send the message that, oh, they're hypersexualizing young girls, whatever. For me, I don't agree with that, because from the get-go, the movie sets a really kind of naughty, you know, kind of rambunctious tone to it. It's kind of, these girls are crazy, they're sick of living in this town, they want to go to Edinburgh, they want to have their freedom and be, you know, have their liberties and kind of do what they want to do. And that's what I love. The message of the film is about individuality. It's about identity. It's about finding your place in the world and who you are. And it links into lots of different themes. You've got, you know, sexuality, you've got you know, something to do with pregnancy. It kind of debunks all these really taboo issues that at that time in the 90s were really big issues. And it is addressed in the film. It isn't set in 2021. It is set in 90s Scotland. And some of the issues the girls face, you know, it really affects their characters. For me, the two things that really shine from this film, the script is fantastic. The writer is Michael Caton Jones, who obviously directs it as well. So quirky and witty and funny. And again, it is dirty-minded, you know, it's very tongue-in-cheek. There are a lot of kind of sexual innuendos, but it's just so sharp, and it made me laugh so many points. I was laughing out loud. And also the performances, the cast are fantastic. There is not a single female in the cast that performs less than the others. Each character has their moment to shine. Each of them has their scene, and it is divided equally between them. And that's what I love about this film. It is about this union, this partnership between the girls. It's not about one specific character like I thought it was going to be, because I think it is easy for a lot of these female-led ensemble films to be about one particular girl and then the others are left behind. No, there's, you know, through flashbacks and backstories, we get to know each of these characters really well. And the performances are fantastic. Abigail Laurie, I thought, was great as well. She kind of has a subplot where she's discovering her sexuality. Obviously, Tallulah Grieve is fantastic as well. Hers is linking with illness. I just thought they were all fantastic with the script, with the performances. I really, really love this a lot. I think it's really underrated, and I think it's going to slip under a lot of people's radar. So if you get a chance to go watch it, please make the effort and go and watch it in the cinema. But what did you think?
Yeah, like I said, it was a massive surprise for me. It sort of came out of nowhere, and I loved it, or, you know, all the more for that, really. I think, obviously, going in, it has got that Derry Girls vibe, and I was sort of expecting, you know, a Derry Girls the movie. Derry Girls the movie.
Derry Girls.
Yeah, but it isn't. Well, it is that, because, you know, it does have that sort of humour through it. It is a bit raunchy. You've got this group of young women who are essentially just going out and they're looking for boys. But what the film does really well, and what elevates it above, you know, other sort of films of its kind, is it's got an emotional, tender sort of heart, you know, at its core. When you see the backstory of each of these characters and you get to know more about them, as you said, you've got, you know, one who's sort of dealing with her sexuality, which I think is a lovely subplot, and I really like that plot thread running through it. You've got one who's sort of dealing with illness, played by Tallulah Grieve, and you've got all these different plot threads running through it to the point where, you know, it is funny, it is hysterical in places, but at the end, when, you know, it's sort of there's sort of a big reveal in the last sort of 10 minutes, and the director just pulls the rug from underneath your feet, and you're just devastated because you've enjoyed your time, you've enjoyed your company with these characters. So then the final 10 minutes, you know, with that reveal, it does break your heart. And I think that's what I will take from it. That's what I will remember from it, is the fact that, yes, it is hilarious. Great characters, these people that they meet in Edinburgh, terrific, well-rounded characters, but it has got that emotional core. And I think that's what I will take away from it, is that emotion made me tear up towards the end. And again, that is, you know, thanks to the strong performances as well. So it's not going to be in cinemas long, I don't think, but definitely go out, rush out to watch it, see it on the big screen while you can.
Definitely, and you know, support and celebrate Scotland. You know,
you got to get the Scottish accent in there. Don't you start with a haggis?
Oh, it's the only thing I can see in Scottish.
Scottish. What about disgusting?
Disgusting. Which one of you is Tucker?
Don't go down that road now.
Hey. And a big thank you again to Tallulah for chatting with us.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you.
Before we finish the show today, we went on our Twitter page, and obviously it's the end of the summer holidays, Joe. Summer is ending.
You're so sad.
I know. Autumn is approaching. So we went on Twitter and asked all of our followers and fans, and which there are many, what film, one film this summer has really impressed them. So which out of the whole summer holidays from, I guess, June to end of August, which film has been their favourite and which film have they loved the most? Lots of responses here. We've got at AMG Review, Alex, he has said Luca.
Silencio, Bruno.
Very good. And we've got Will Crab at Film Crab. He says Pig.
Yeah.
With Nicolas Cage. Even if it isn't a very summery film, that's okay.
It is. It's allowed. Yeah. It's allowed.
Yeah, definitely. It's set somewhere near summer. Matt Price has put In the Heights, obviously.
In the Heights.
Yeah, definitely. Big fan of that. I know you are, Joe. Alex G has posted Vivo.
Yeah. That, okay. That's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. And then finally, at Jack Benner has put Suicide Squad for his favourite.
Brilliant. Yeah. I watched that the other day again, actually.
Did you?
Took Hannah to see it.
Oh, brilliant.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. She did. Good. And she wasn't expecting it. I said, don't ever doubt me again.
Do as I say, woman. Just joking.
Yeah, that is a joke.
That is a joke. Yeah. Don't come at me, please.
Don't cancel us.
Oh, it'd be very hard to do. That's what we've got time for on today's show.
It is.
I cannot believe it. It has just flown by, hasn't it?
It's flown by.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We're at DJ Film Show. You can also catch all of our old episodes on Mixcloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the different services. And we'll see you in a few weeks' time. And thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.